If you'd like to turn in the Pew Bible to the passage which William read for us, page 1183, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. We're going to look through this little section together. Apparently, the House of Commons is on recess for 3 weeks. Means there's nobody in the House of Commons for 3 weeks, and it probably hasn't escaped your attention that there are these small things happening all over England. It's the season for party political conferences. It's the time when parties lay out their agendas, when they try to spell out their policies. They put together a manifesto. And sometimes we wonder why. Sometimes we get a bit tired and cynical. But when people put together a manifesto, an agenda for the future, when they put together policies, generally what is happening is people are saying, this is what we believe will lead to a better future. Now, sometimes, again, we get very cynical about politics and politicians and really better future. But I think by and large, most people go into politics because they want a better future for all of us. And we may disagree as to what that future looks like, but that's generally the desire, to build a better future, to put together a better future. And as I say, it's easy for us to be cynical about politics. One of the delegates from the Labour Party conference this week had obviously had too much and zoned out for a while. But many of us feel a bit like that. Not more politics. And we just want to zone out. And whether it's our own lack of politics here or whether it's on the bigger stage where the whole confusion about Brexit swirls around us, our heads just hurt. And perhaps like this guy, we just want to zone out. Just get on with it. Tell me when it's sorted. We all want a better future. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about Brexit. We all want a better future, whatever that looks like. Whenever we go to vote, whether it's local councils, whether it's for our assembly, whether it's for Westminster, we vote because we want a better future. We vote because we believe that politics and economics will help us move into that better future. Whenever we go for that qualification, or maybe that little extra bit of experience, we're doing that because we think, if I had that qualification, if I had that experience, I could move into a better future. It's my pathway into a better future. Maybe if I was able to move across into that job, into that position, that would clear the way for me to have a better future. Maybe if I moved house, that would start a better future for me. A new life in the country, whatever it may look like. And we head off because the future will be better. Maybe it's that special person. And if I'm with that special person, then the future will be better. But sadly, we know our expectations don't always work out. So many things that we do and choose because we're looking to a better future, it doesn't always work out that way. And sometimes the things that we expect of people, the things that we expect of events around us, these things are way beyond what anyone could deliver. We expect a new house somehow to give us a whole new lease of life, a better future. Really? Still the same people living in it. We expect that new job to change things for us totally. Really? We look for a better future. And the fact that we are so often disappointed may explain why some people just give up looking for that better future. Just been knocked back so often that just no bother. Just take it as it comes. Been disappointed too often. Nothing's ever going to change. Why would I bother? Why would I bother? The Bible holds out not just a better future, but the better future. Paul, in the passage which is before us, simply talks about the very hope of glory. The hope of glory. The better future. MTT. MTT is what we call our youth fellowship here. But it stands for more than this. Sometimes people look at it and say, Stephen, what's that about? MTT? More than this. It's a recognition by our young people that there is more to this life than what we can see, what we can gather up, what we can achieve. More than this. When Paul talks about the hope of glory, Paul's saying, steady, there is more than this. This is not as good as it gets, no matter how good it gets to be. How often have you thought, or how often have we heard other people say, this is as good as it gets? The Bible wants to say, no, hold on a minute. This is not as good as it gets, no matter how good it seems to be. Our hope is not in politics, even though politics is important. And we should be praying for and supporting our politicians as they seek to move forward. But ultimately, our hope is not in politics. Economics is important. We know it. We all know it is. And we should be praying for and supporting those who are trying to find ways of moving forward economically. Technology, we're all affected by it, no matter how much we may want to retreat from it. We're all affected, but our hope is not ultimately in technology. Our hope is in the experience of a future glory. The hope of glory. The Bible looks forward to that time whenever pain, injustice, disappointment, the brutality of much of this life gives way to indescribable glory. The hope of glory. Paul, in this passage, talks about a mystery. Now, when we hear the word mystery, possibly we begin to think Agatha Christie and Hercule Poirot and all those other folks. A mystery that has to be solved and worked out. When the Bible talks about a mystery, it's about something that has been hidden, but which God makes known to us. So in this passage, Paul says things like, this has been disclosed to you. God has disclosed this to you. God has made this known to you. As far as the Bible is concerned, a mystery is something that God reveals to you, not that you work out by your own brain power. And here's the mystery. Jesus, the Lord of glory, is now in you. The hope of glory. Jesus is in you. The hope of glory. Christ living in you is the ground of the hope that you will enter into his glory. Why do we hope for the future? Because Christ in us gives us that hope of glory. This glory will be yours because the Jesus who died and rose again is the same Jesus who lives in you. One of the things that the Bible, the New Testament, continually says is that Christ is in you. Christ in you. United with Christ. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Why do we have a hope for glory? Because we have Jesus in us. So if we look for a better future anywhere other than in Jesus, we are going to be disappointed. There's nothing wrong with the things that we've talked about ambition, about looking for a better future, about politics, about economics, about technology, about all those things moving us into a better future. But don't look for our ultimate hope in these things. Our ultimate hope is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And if we expect anyone or anything to do for us what only Jesus can do, we are going to be disappointed big time. Christ in you is the grounds for your hope of glory. We don't have to engineer a better future. We don't have to work for this better future. Jesus has already decided that. It's already secure because Jesus has died and has risen and is ascended on high. That better future is secure. It is there. We don't have to sort that out. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that sets us free to live with confidence here and now. We're set free from trying to build this better future. Jesus has done that. Christ in you is the hope of that glory. So we're set free from that struggling for this better future to live in the here and now. The beginning of this passage, Paul says this, I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, we could look at that and think, well, there's maybe something deficient in Jesus. Maybe what Jesus did on the cross and when he rose again wasn't enough, and that you and I have to do something to add to that, to build it up. Well, the Bible simply says that Jesus has done it all. When he dies on the cross, when he rises again, it's done. It's finished. It's complete. It's not that there's something lacking in Jesus. It can't mean that Jesus' sufferings are deficient and that we have to add to them. It means that Paul was prepared to suffer to carry the good news of Jesus to a lost world. That's his sufferings. And for you and I, we're set free from having to create this better future. Jesus has done that. Christ in you, the hope of glory, so that we can concentrate on carrying the good news of Jesus to a world that is looking for a better future. And we find it in Jesus. I just keep coming back to our mission statement time and time again. To know Christ and lovingly to make him known. Christ in you, the hope of glory. To know this Christ, to have that hope of glory. And then lovingly to make him known. Carrying that good news of Jesus Christ into this world as people look around in different ways in different places for a better future. And within the church, we should be saying, here's the better future in Jesus Christ. It's a big task. And perhaps like me, you're thinking, you know what? This is maybe too big. How can I bring the good news of Jesus to this lost world? Well, Paul, verse 29 of this passage, simply says this. Talking about all the things that he needs to do, all the things that are required of him, simply says, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus in you who struggles, who works in you and through you to bring his good news to this lost world. To know Christ, lovingly to make him known. But it starts with Christ in you. Do you want a better future? Of course you do. Do you want a better future for those whom you love and care for? Do you want a better future for those you work with, those you live beside? Of course you do. A better future is in Jesus. But it starts when we ask Jesus into our lives. It starts when we realize, going right back to that first hymn we sang earlier on, holy, holy, holy. God is holy, and I am far from holy, and I need the Savior. And we invite Christ into our lives. Christ in you. The hope of glory. And that's where it starts. When lives are transformed, not by our own intellect, not by our own abilities, when lives are transformed by the love of God in Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, we were blessed to have 6 young women here from the kingdom of Eswatini who spoke, some of them spoke of some of the most horrific things they've been through. But they spoke about it with a deep joy because Jesus Christ had transformed their lives. Christ in them, the very hope of glory. It starts when Jesus turns our lives around. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Shall we pray together? Lord, you know us. We are like open books before you. You know the things that we long for, dream for, work for. You know how much we would long for a better future. So forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, that when you reach out to us in Jesus with that glory, we look to other places. Work in us by your Holy Spirit, we pray, that all of us may be able to say with the Bible, Christ in me is the very hope of glory. And this we ask in the strong name of Jesus.